It's Thursday, November 7th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 905, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's website builder makes it easy to create your own website, put your business online, and find new customers. Choose from hundreds of customizable designs, and you're on your way. Website Builder even includes a free domain name, hosting, and 24/7 support. It's go time. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code WSB5 to get Website Builder for only $1 a month. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Tonight we talk tech. And also talking about building the Geek News Central community. You guys know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio, overlooking a very rainy Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, beautiful night here in Honolulu, in Hawaii Nei. We've had light showers this afternoon. The temperatures have come down. The humidity's not too bad. A little bit of intermixed trade winds. It's fantastic. And the night jasmine's starting to kick. And I've talked about that from many years past on how this aroma, it's just a beautiful aroma comes wafting into the studio. So it actually puts me in a real good mood. But hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, if you're checking the show out for the very first time, hey, we want to welcome you. Of course, we want to welcome you to the Ohana and basically say thanks for checking the show out. And thanks for, being here. And of course, all longtime subscribers as well. Thank you so much for staying subscribed to the podcast. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of stuff to talk about. But definitely don't forget to get over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the content that all our great writers are putting up on the website. We had some pretty good heavy hitters here recently. We'll talk about a couple of those a little bit later tonight. Of course, we've got the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, who does a weekly show. That's just come online within the last few minutes. Got Robot Underpants with Langley over there, and he's doing a great job with his team. Of course, the new media show that I do with Mr. Rob Greenlee that we put together every Saturday. We'll talk about this week's upcoming new media show. And of course, this show done every Monday and Thursday night, plus all the other tech stuff that we talk on the site and intermixed with the politics, news, and, you know, all centered around the tech focus. So hope you guys will check out the website, get subscribed to the show, sign up for the newsletter. Tonight's show notes, you can find them at gncshownotes.com/905. That's where you can find tonight's show notes after the show. And of course, if you're on the newsletter, we'll email that to you immediately following the show. Of course, you can watch the show on our Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast. So really, any kind of glass, whether it be Android, iOS, BlackBerry, if you still have one of those, you can watch the show or listen to the show. It's real easy to get. We make it accessible, really, on over 150 different devices. Okay, so let's just talk a little bit here. We're up on live on YouTube. Got some guys in the chat room tonight. Hey, folks, welcome to the show. And some familiar names there. Thanks for staying up late. And I got some stuff to share here that'll be pretty cool for you. Do want to mention, of course, here, I'm a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network over techpodcast.com. And I tell you, the team over there, just an absolute great lineup of shows. So definitely get over there and check them out when you get a chance here. Going to change things up a little bit. And I want to get into the announcements before we talk about our sponsor here. But the glass invites are going to close. I got an email from Google. And if you want a glass invite, and we've already got three, only three of you have ponied up and said you want an invite. So right now, everyone that's asked is going to get one unless someone else comes in with a better email or a better idea. You need to send Sam an email, insider@geeknewscentral.com, to be on that list to get a glass invite. And then I'm going to make the decision really probably very soon. I want to make sure that your submission gets in. So don't delay, all right, because I have to have that in. I probably have to send that out Sunday. I'll have to send the invite because the invites close on the 11th. So be watching your email. We'll be reaching out to each one of you that we have basically sent the invite to for Google, and it's a form I have to fill out, and I'll have those details for you via email when we send them. Okay, so CES prep continues here. This is just a small sample of the paperwork that I've been working through. And, you know, just to give you an idea, here's the internet connection, $6,200. The security, we've already figured the security this year is going to be $2,000. The Freeman electrical, $412 for electricity. The furniture orders, like $1,600 bucks. So, if you want to support us, please, we are doing our crowdfunding. You'll see it on the website. Consider throwing in $20, $25, $50, $100, whatever you feel we deserve or that you can afford. And those that contribute $25 or more, you're going to get a very, very cool T-shirt. But the old cash, the old credit card is about ready to get whacked here, as it does every year, getting ready to go to CES. Okay, so let me, hey, the Philippines right now is getting hammered by a Cat 5 super typhoon. And those of you who've been with the show for a long time, you guys know that I went through a Cat 5 super typhoon. Oh, man, this has been... Let's see, 84, but 93, 94. You guys can look it up. You can Google the year. I mean, it was bad. It was the same type of a typhoon that's hitting the Philippines right now. And it was I was without power for 37 days. It was a horrendous storm. Winds of excess of 200 miles an hour. It was incredible. So my heart goes out to those folks in the Philippines right now that's getting hammered by this Cat 5 super typhoon. And knowing how some of the accommodations over there and how some people just live in sheds and shanties. The very poor are going to get devastated over this. And I'm sure the pictures coming out of the Philippines will be heart-wrenching in the morning. So thoughts and prayers go out to those folks in the PI that's getting hammered right now. Okay, so what's going on here? Sunday, I head out to Tucson. And I've been invited to go to Techonomy TE13. So I'm going to be in Tucson, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, fly back on Thursday. I'm really excited about going to this event. This thing is pretty incredible, from a lineup standpoint. There's a great number of very influential people. This is an invite only event. So, you know, there's folks from Google, there's folks from, a variety of major companies that you know. We've got folks from O'Reilly. We've got people from Bloomberg. We've got people from Glam. You've got people from Catch Fire. It just goes on and on, the full list of folks. And I think this is going to be a great event. I was invited out by Ford. I want to thank them for the invite to this event. I'm going to be meeting with a number of executives while I'm there. So lots of stories to tell when I come back. There'll be no show on Monday because of this travel. So I will be back with you Thursday night if I'm not too jet-lagged, and we'll share what happened at the event. But I'm pretty excited to go out to Techonomy TE13, and we'll be rubbing elbows with some cool folks and enjoying the event and the location. This is, don't get jealous now, but it's the Ritz-Carlton Dove Mountain, and oh my goodness, I was looking through the accommodations of this place, off the hook. So fantastic location. I'll have a camera with me, of course, and everything, and do some video, and I'll be taking glass with me and making sure that, of course, I'm not wearing glass right now. It's charging, but have glass and be able to catch all kinds of cool clips. So look forward to bringing you guys information about that. Also, one thing I'm going to do is I'm soliciting ideas. It's time. It's time for an update for Geek News Central. We've had the same design on the website now, I think, for 3 years. And I think it's time for an update, for a refresh. I still love this design, but maybe it's getting a little long in the tooth. So if you guys, longtime listeners of the show, if you have a design that you guys love, email it to me. And let me know. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, obviously we want to go a flat design and into a more supportive HTML5 and a variety of things. So I'd love to hear you guys' feedback, where you think we should go with the website. And it's been very, very functional this whole time. It's one of the reasons why we've stuck with it so long. But if you've got some ideas, email me here. At the show, that would be most appreciated at geeknews@gmail.com is a place to go for the email. Of course, you can tweet me anytime at geeknews as well. All right, Podcast Awards is ongoing here. We just scored got our last sponsor in Cashfly, jumped on here really in the ninth hour, and I'm really happy. We've covered all of expenses. We've got the trophies ordered. Made that call this morning. Boy, oh boy, it was, by the, you know, hair of my chinny chin chin here to make the cut, but we did. And I'm really, really pleased about that. So I want to thank the folks over at Cashfly for stepping in and being our final corporate sponsor. This coming Saturday, we're going to have a Stefan Beckham, podcast producer at CNET.tv is going to be on our new media show. So if you want to watch, tune into that interview, please do so. We had Kelly Lewis last weekend. And again, we start at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, right here at Geek News Central or New Media. Basically, just come over to geeknewscentral.com or live.geeknewscentral.com. Again, our crowdfunding is going on. And for those of you that contribute $100 as part of this audience, you get a special gift from me. And if you do a $500 contribution, you get a free ad on this show for a month. And don't forget, keep reaching out to Sam, at our insider, geeknewscentral.com. He'll get you into the... Those of you that are insiders, will get you into the insider mailing list, and not mailing list, the insider G Plus group. And of course, I've got linked up in the show notes, the community G Plus. Hey, let's take care of a little business and we'll get into the full breadth of the show and just a couple of things I want to talk about. Obviously, GoDaddy's longtime sponsor here at the show, and they have put together an absolutely incredible deal this month that just is really unparalleled. For $1 a month, $12, you get website builder and you get a free domain. So the normal price of a domain is like $8.50 if you buy it retail. So that is an incredible, incredible deal. So website builder, definitely check it out. I have a link up in the show notes for you to go over and take a look at what that offers, but it's templates and e-commerce and everything you need really as a business to get going. And it's really a great deal. And nothing else. You can try it out for a year, you know, and experiment with it. And what do you got into it? $3.50 is your, you know, out-of-pocket cost. So WSB5 is the promo code. Now, we've got some additional stuff going on as well. We've got the dollar. And don't forget, you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We got the $1.99 economy hosting. That's a little different. That's the type of site where you can put a WordPress blog on and a variety of different things. $1.99 economy hosting for 12 months. So that's $2 a month, $24 a year, and also a free domain as well by using the promo code HOSTOFF3. You get 30% off your order at GoDaddy by using the promo code 30DEAL3. That's a great savings. And I want to thank all of you guys. We got the invoice, basically the status report, October, from a performance standpoint, a number of new customers that use my codes was the largest that we'd had in 12 months. So I want to thank all of you for stepping up to the plate last month. Really made for a good October and a November billing. But they keep putting these deals together. I'm not surprised that the number of you folks jumped on that as you did. But again, go over to the website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and I've got everything listed there. Every code is on the website, all the savings, anything that you want is there. The link, basically, you'll find the banner halfway down the website, and all the codes are there, all the November specials, and every one of the expiring, non-expiring offers as well. So again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Thanks to GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. All right, one thing you're going to hear me talking about a lot over the next few months is community, 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 community. And it's something that I have probably been lacking in doing. And I really want all of you to become engaged and join the Geek News Central community page on Google Plus. It's a place where I want us to all meet, hang out, chat, submit stuff back and forth, share stuff that's during non-show days, and really build up this, you know, we got this huge, huge audience, but I want to bring you guys in and you guys share between one another and me, and I'll share with you and vice versa, everything that we're doing here at Geek News Central, and give me ideas for show topics. And I think as a collaborative, we can all work together and really take this thing to the next level. You know, we're going to be working on 10 years of doing this show. This is our 9th to the 10th year. And so the goal really is to really see where we can get this thing by the 10th anniversary, and really to bring it all in is I got to have all of you guys in the community. So please consider joining, and the link will be in the show notes for you guys to check out. All right, enough of me yakking here. Let me get into the content tonight. And I got an email from one of our listeners, and he was scolding me, and it's good. I like scoldings. But I was apparently using a specific word a lot in the last few shows, and you don't even realize it yourself. So once in a while, it's good for those of you that are listening to punch me in the face and say, Todd, if you say that again, it was like running chalk or scratching a chalkboard. So I will try to stay away from using that word, and I'll share it with you at the end of the show, and you guys can grade me and let me know how I did in not using the word that he was implying. And I, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm like, how did I use that much? And he was like sitting in anticipation of me using that word again, started with a B. And he says, every time he does, I could, you know, hit him. He's like, oh. So I will try to refrain from that. Probably what will end up happening is I'll use something as a substitute. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's go ahead and get into the tech here. And, you know, oftentimes, so you guys know, you know, I have a very, very, very busy schedule. And doing the show at 8 o'clock at night is probably not the smartest thing, but it's something I've always done for 905 shows. The show gets recorded when it gets recorded. And there are times that I'm at different levels of, I bet for a better word, consciousness. All right, this first article I'm going to talk about tonight on the tech side is something I found over at Bloomberg Business Week. I mean, it was just by fluke. And it had a very weird title. Is entitled "An iPhone Tester Caught in Apple Supply Chain," and it really it's kind of like, what does that mean? An iPhone tester caught in Apple supply chain. But really, what it is, it's an incredible hit piece by Bloomberg that doesn't do Apple any favors, and it really goes to the crux of employment. And let's be honest, employment in the third world, in a third world country, or employment where if you are living somewhere that, you know, the median income is, you know, maybe $1,000 a year or less, and, you know, taking in and recruiters looking for individuals to work in the factories that are building Apple devices, and then basically making them sign their lives away, sign their farms away, basically becoming essentially slaves. And, you know, it's the biggest scam in the world. And this was happening a lot in Saipan. When I lived in Guam in the early 80s, the big thing that was getting in Saipan was the garment factories. And they were basically bringing in workers from a variety of countries, mainly the Philippines, and they would hold their visas and or their, you know, their passports, and then everything that they did, they would buy food at the company store, they would sleep in the company barracks, and everything that they did cost them money, you know, and it was taken out against their paycheck. In the end, they were left basically holding pennies to send home back to, you know, their families. And it became a very, very big issue, and the U.S. government really cracked down hard on Saipan, largely because they could. They hadn't become the states of Micronesia yet. It was still underneath the Federation of States of Micronesia. They weren't under that yet. Still was largely a territory of the United States. So long story short, they took care of it. But then it just moved. This disease moved to a different place. So shirts that we wear today and clothes that we wear come out of some sort of garment factory. And it's no different of an issue there than it is with what's going on in many of these countries that are in the supply chain of building products for Apple. Now, Apple was the company that was singled out, but you can almost be guaranteed it's every company that has a factory or is in a building products in those countries that are using this labor. And I think you'll be fascinated. And what I want you guys to do is, some people may have no, you're saying, well, Todd, they don't have a job. This is something they work. It's the way it is in those countries. And I understand that. But what I want you guys to do is I want you to take some time and put yourself in the shoes of the individual that they highlight in this and think, my God, what would that be if it was me? And think about that a little bit. And I want you to read the article. It's a 5-pager. It's going to take you 10, 15 minutes to get through this, but I think you won't get through page one without being compelled to go to page two. And I know this type of topic has come up again and again and again and again, but this one here was a little different, and it talked about the ramp up to the launch of a phone and sucking in, tens of thousands of workers to ramp up and build, basically the phones that you and I are carrying today in our pockets. So I have that for you. I want you guys to check it out. I'd love to hear your feedback on it. And I understand I'm not so stupid because I traveled throughout Asia a lot. I spent time in virtually all those countries. Never spent time in China. Went to Hong Kong a couple of times while I was in the Navy, but when it was still underneath the UK control, never when it was under the control of the Chinese. But the situation doesn't change from country to country too much, depending on where you're at, especially in Malaysia and a variety of different areas. So anyway, just go through this and check it out. And I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on it. A little bit shocking, to be honest with you. And desperation. Really incredible. It really is. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Next article up is a article that, well, actually, it just shows you this typhoon that's going into or is whacking the Philippines right now in a big, big way. This thing is a monster. And if, any of you that live in a coastline to get hurricanes, this is essentially the same as a Cat 5. The same as a Cat 5 hurricane, but it's a Cat 5 typhoon, super typhoon. So I have the link up in the show notes. I got the door of the studio open right now because got a nice breeze coming through. My kids just got back from swim practice, so heard them walk in. So we'll have, I'm sure Chris is going to be coming in here and shut the door in a few minutes. But if you hear him yelling out there, it's a typical gang getting back at the house. Okay, YouTube is changing something up. This is kind of different. YouTube now, when someone makes a comment on a YouTube video, instead of it being in the YouTube infrastructure, it's going to be pushed over into your Google Plus notifications. So this is an interesting update. So again, it will no longer update. It's going to go straight into the Google Plus notification system. So I haven't seen some stuff come in. I'll be playing around with it to check it out, but definitely a change there. And you can change the notification setting in the Google Plus profile. So if you've got a real popular YouTube channel, you're not going to get bam, 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 and an email every 5 minutes. You can only be so lucky if you've got that type of action on your YouTube page. Google obviously was punching the face with the revelation that their data going between data centers was, being monitored. And the engineers at Google, obviously very upset. went to work very, very quickly. And it is my understanding now from an article that I've seen in multiple websites that the Googlers have said beep you to the government agency and has encrypted the internal network. So what has happened here is that Google said, oh, no, you don't, and have locked the barn door. And so they've started encrypting traffic between its data centers, effectively halting the broad surveillance of an inner workings by the NSA and someone in an agency called the GCHQ. So that is an interesting move here, but it's not one that probably is not expected. I think we all expect it to happen. I'm just surprised it happened that fast. Now, here's the thing that you have to think about. And what I was trying to wrap my brain around just a little. Okay, so number one, let's say that, you know, you're in a building and you're a, you know, you're a tech guy and you're an engineer and you've basically been given the golden key to be able to basically suck off the stream of that data flow and be able to tap into that and pull that data and send it somewhere. Now, think about this for a second. What type of a data connection would that require? You know, Google's got to have some pretty significant infrastructure between their data centers. And I can only imagine that, you know, if you just think about this just a little bit, how much data is going back and forth. It has to be an extraordinary amount. Okay, so if extraordinary amount of data is going back and forth between their data centers, when it was unencrypted, how much, and when in the guy sitting there with a, you know, not necessarily a land cable, because that's not going to cover it, but whatever they use to do this, which to me, I don't fully understand how it happens. You know, someone that's a network engineer can maybe explain this to us, but just think of the pipe, the data pipe that you got to have to get that data out and sent to wherever you're going to send it. That to me was kind of the moment and thinking about it a little bit. Now, let's fast forward here to this announcement where they're saying that they've encrypted their internal network. That adds to the data flow because when you're passing bits, it's just bits, you know? But if you add the processing power required here to encrypt and the processing power required on the other side to decrypt or however it's going to transfer and the amount of extra data that has to go along with that package, that in itself is another moment because I'm sure if they were using, you know, let's say, let's use a term let's just use a random number. If they were using, let's say, 5 terabytes of data was transferring a second, it's probably more like 5 petabytes a second or whatever the number was. Let's say it was 5 terabytes a second was being transferred between data centers. You add that encryption layer, and it's now probably 7.5 just because of the effect of having to add the encryption and all the stuff that goes along with that, not to mention what, you know, the boxes on either side that's doing the, you know, that encryption decryption. So that had to be pretty significant. And to think that they put it in place this fast, that should make all of us go, huh. So it tells you that the Google engineers can work fast. And now what? We'll see where this leads next. But I would not want to be on the legal counsel of Google when Uncle Sam comes knocking, that's for sure. All right, Google also said that its mystery barge may be used as interactive spaces where people can learn about its technology. I don't buy this. They've got this big barge. They put a building on it, and they're going to pull this thing around and put it in ports and have people come learn about its technology. Why don't, you know, is the billions and billions of dollars they have, why don't they just rent someplace instead of building this floating barge system It, to me, just seems a little weird. Maybe that's the truth, but unless they're taking this overseas, which could, and I don't know if these are ocean, I guess they're ocean going barges. So time will tell. And I'm sure at some point we'll get to see the insides of these things. All right. Are you, do you deal in the Bitcoin market? Well, if you do, congratulations. And you know, the train has already left the station. I should have back in the day, have made some Bitcoin investments. You know, I'm too busy keeping the lights on and feeding the family to worry about that. But this morning, Bitcoin was trading at $300 a Bitcoin, actually $305. So if you've got Bitcoins that you purchased that were, you know, $50 back when this thing started, I applaud you. You've done very well. And the increase from like $125 a Bitcoin to $305 has happened over relatively a short period of time. Now, quickest things go up, things can go down. So we'll see where this leads. But Bitcoin trading at $305. Now, one thing that we're looking at here in Hawaii, and I just got my latest electricity bill, and the paddles from the heart attack machine are, you know, the VVIP thing is in the other room because I opened the bill. It's like, how can it be? it's insane. So the solar question is basically raising its head here. And of course, now we've talked about before how the local electric company is slow rolling applications now because of grid concerns. And I'm just telling my wife, man, someday we're just going to get off the grid. I'm going to be able to go out there with a big pair of dikes and cut that electricity line and, you know, sayonara to the electric companies. But it's not quite there yet. But there is a good story over on CNN Money. It's talking about storing solar energy for a rainy day. Now, here in Hawaii, you know, it's sunshine sometime during the day. We usually don't have overcast. Now, there's a few years ago, we went like 3 months of like, ugh, weather. But generally, we get some of the highest concentration of solar density, I guess is for a better word, than most places in the United States. So there's some technology out there where they're now looking at lithium batteries, once again, being a viable solution to, you know, you're not home during the day. Most of the folks, they're out working. So the electricity use in the house is almost nothing. So instead of running the meter backwards, you're charging a battery. And then when you come home, you're running off the battery instead of pulling off the grid. And at some point, you may have to pull a little bit off the grid, but it'd be nice if we got to a point where lithium-ion batteries weren't just for laptops and electric cars, but were also for our houses. You know, there's folks like Warren Buffett and so forth who have put in solar and have batteries in their houses. And, you know, at $3,000 to $10,000 a battery, you have to have a lot of months of payback to make that worth it. You know, and here, my electricity bill this month was $456. That's high. And normally we've been $380. But this month was $456. And, so, you know, if you think you multiply by 12, it's, you know, you're basically, you know, $5,500 to $6,000 a year just for electricity here in Hawaii, at least in my household. So you could pay for two batteries, but that's also, you know, looking at a solar install that would be $30,000 to $40,000, you know, that, you know, you've got maybe 5 years to pay off the actual panels on the roof. And then, you know, when do you start getting money back? When can you actually, you know, cut the cable from the electric company? It's not going to happen anytime soon. It's not going to be viable. But they say by 2020, the battery technology could be to the point where those that have solar can make it more financially viable. So we'll see where this leads. But one thing's for sure, power's not getting cheaper anywhere, and especially here. It's crazy. All right, next up is an article on Ars Tech talking about a denial of service tool targeting healthcare.gov. It's a tool that's been uncovered. It's a hacktivist software designed to put a strain on the very struggling Obamacare website. And basically all this thing does is just loads web pages. It doesn't do any destruction. It just continuously hits the site and loads web pages. And we all know that enough people are doing that. It can effectively be a denial of service attack. But they've uncovered this. They're trying to figure out how big the proliferation of this is. They really don't know. But code's pretty simple. It just goes out there and walks the site and all the public pages and hits it and hits it and hits it. So definitely some people out there that are angry. All right, Verizon still will not let the Nexus 7 on its LTE network, and now they're blaming Google. Yeah, I just don't get that. If you want to buy a Nexus 7, yeah, you can get one that has Wi-Fi only, but you're not going to get one that can connect to Verizon. But basically, Verizon said, due to the certification process for Nexus 7, Google Asus and Verizon uncovered a system issue that required Google and Asus to undertake additional work with the Jelly Bean OS running device. Since Google is about to launch its KitKat OS, rather than undertake this work, Google and Asus asked Verizon to suspend its certification process until Google's new OS was available on the Nexus 7. Now, this is upsetting a lot of people. Journalist and professor Jeff Jarvis, who we know is been watching the space. Now, Verizon, when they got that additional, remember, a number of years ago, they bought Spectrum. And they basically were forced to allow devices to come to their network unhindered. So Jeff Jarvis has led the charge of complaint against Verizon by not authorizing Nexus 7 on its networks. He said yesterday, he sent a second complaint to the FCC about Verizon Wireless, continued refusal. He says, let me be clear that in the end, the issue is not Verizon certification or even the FCC's, but the definition of an open and whether any device complying with published standards can connect with their network. If the network is truly as open as the commission has decreed, remember this was part of their purchase agreement, then any device that meets standards for the network should be connected to it with no proprietary certification required. In the Nexus 7, Asus has manufactured a device that meets these standards, has been certified by the FCC, and works on any compatible network, as clearly demonstrated with worldwide use. For Verizon to hide behind its claim of a right to certify only brings needless confusion to the commission's rules and rulings about open networks. And this goes on. This is the same type of crap that we talked about the other day. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They don't want to play. They don't want to follow the rules or the agreement that they made with the government. And I would say if Verizon doesn't want to play, Jeff Jarvis is right. Take the spectrum away or fine them. Make it so painful that they are required to allow a device to get on their network. It's about supposed to have any device, not supposed to be restricted. So you have to pay them, but you should be allowed to use it. Now, where's the other article I was going to talk about with the same type of topic? There's an article over on the Mozilla blog. It's about a new piece of legislation. It's called the Freedom Act. And I don't know anything about this yet. I have not read this. As a matter of fact, this has been on the street for a couple of days. This post was put up on 29 October, so I'm way behind the power curve on this. They basically are coming out behind a law that has been introduced by Congressman Sensenbrenner in the U.S. Senate by House of Representatives Congressman Sensenbrenner and in the U.S. Senate by Senator Leahy. It's called the Freedom Act, takes an important step to rebuilding user trust by adding limitations of a government collection of data in the name of national security. So I don't know if this is going to get any traction because, there's a lot of support for allowing the government agencies to continue to doing what they're doing. But anyway, this is something Mozilla has put up and is endorsing. There was also another article that was put online by Doc Searles, and I don't get a lot of articles. A lot of stuff he puts up that I don't pay a lot of attention to. But you guys know on the last show, I really was on my, basically hammering you guys a little bit talking about the net neutrality. And Doc Searles is a guy that's pretty well read. He's got a couple of great books out. You know, he's not someone that, you know, he's usually has a very good defined opinion. And he's got a great post saying, is it too late to save the internet from the carriers? And there was a there's a blog post by a gal by the name of Saran. Oh, no, excuse me. Was it Susan Crawford? The title of it's Big Cable, Saran-like Plan for One Infrastructure to Rule Us All by Susan Crawford paints. And this link to her article is in this Doc Searles blog post. It paints a bleak bleak picture of what awaits us after television, aka cable, finishes eating the internet. But that's just in our homes. Out in the mobile sphere, telcos have been eating the net as well, in collusion with cable. And that's, of course, one of the points I brought up. And we talked about the we're about to lose net neutrality. The article was on Wired that we talked about at length on the last show. But both of these pieces are in Wired. And I want you guys really, you got to pay attention to this and you got to get on the phone and start speaking up. There, if Doc Searles is all the, you know, at the point of like, oh my goodness, this has a potential of happening where basically we pay for our service and then the folks in the middle make Google and Yahoo and Netflix and everyone else pay a toll. And basically being a troll on the road saying, hey, give me money or your data shall not pass. We need to pay attention to this. There's a bunch of stuff happening right now, folks. And don't let the upcoming holidays, because they always sneak this stuff in and make decisions and put laws through while we're all getting fat on turkey and looking at Christmas vacation. We've got to stay on the ball on this over the next couple of weeks and watch what they're doing. So anyway, I have a link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. I just can't hammer this enough. And finally, in this type of a thread, and then we'll move into science and tech stuff more, the New York Times endorsed an agreement that the public can't even read. This is crazy. The New York Times editorial board has made a disappointing, and this is from the EFF. The New York Times editorial board has made a disappointing endorsement of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, even as the actual text of the agreement remains secret. EFS says that raises two distressing possibilities. Either an act of extraordinary subservience, the Times has endorsed an agreement that neither the public nor its editors have the ability to read, or in an act of extraordinary cowardice, it has attained a copy of the secret text and hasn't yet fulfilled its duty to the public to publish it. So, EFS says, without a public available agreement, readers are forced into an uncomfortable position of taking official government statements at face value. And, you know, right now, you know, you can keep your insurance. you know you can. Your insurance being canceled. So, they're endorsing this, and no one's seen it. So the question that EFF is asking, does the editorial board, for example, support the TPP provision that would give private corporations new tools to undermine national sovereignty and democratic processes? Because investor state dispute settlements slated for inclusion in both the TPP and the EU-US trade agreement, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, would give multinational companies the power to sue countries over laws that might cut into expected future profits. This would allow corporations, foreign countries, to over basically unravel any law that we may have here in the United States. And I know those of you outside the United States, you could care less about this, but this TPP is also going to affect folks in other countries as well. What's, you know, what could happen here is the United States companies could be suing someone in another country because it doesn't follow this TPP agreement. I don't even claim to be an expert on this. But the paper statements emphasizes how the administration strives to make TPP's policy an example for the rest of the world to follow. You can keep your own insurance. Yeah, right. Okay, so that's what's going on in the ledge side and what's going on in the space. So from that angle, let's switch gears here. The folks out here in Hawaii, the scientists out here in Hawaii, have basically, on Maui's Haleakala, has basically detected a six-tailed asteroid. And they're pretty excited about this thing. And really what it is the asteroid spinning and it's gassing off from different ways as the sun hits it. So it's moving, obviously. So they're pretty gaga about this thing right now. So link will be up in the show notes. If you're on the space side, definitely check it out. And of course, we got a cool show about ready to start here. Comet Ison is heating up. Its tail's getting a little bit longer and growing. They're getting really excited. You can see this thing now with a pair of binoculars if you know exactly where to look. Right now, if you know where Beta is, Comet Ison is available at dawn in the east. So basically, if you looked almost due east, shift a little bit to the right, look up about 8 o'clock, you should be able to see the comet with a pair of binoculars. But of course, this comet has a fist fight with the sun coming up, and we don't know if it's going to be able to withstand the ravages of our star or not. But great details on what's happening with it here, and folks are getting excited because just around Thanksgiving, things could get very, very interesting. So link will be up in the show notes on that. Just don't forget that that's coming, and contact your local space watching group, and they will definitely probably hook you up with a telescope view on one of their outings. Twitter. Whew. Now, would you not have liked to have been a accredited investor today or a friend of one of these Wall Street banks? So, here's, I can hear it. Charles, we have some Twitter stock for you. It's going to be priced at $27. How many million shares would you like? So the guy on the other end, he's like, I'll take $5 million worth. Well, Twitter left more than $1 billion on the table. Matter of fact, it was like $1.37 billion dollars. The bankers have cleaned up. The folks that were offered this stock have cleaned up. The employees who didn't sell any stock today have to be thrilled. The rich get richer, folks, and the meager continue to move forward. So someone had a very big day. They're having champagne and caviar and smoking cigars and living the life. Very few of us will ever know. But Twitter just handed the banks a golden egg. And I'm sure that they are going to be rewarded for a very long time. Incredible. Incredible. And congratulations to Twitter on their IPO. But I think still there's something fundamentally wrong in the United States when average Joe citizen cannot buy any stock of an initial public offering where they are not allowed to buy any of that stock unless you're basically have more than $1 million worth of assets and you're an accredited investor and you have been investing for a while and you know someone and, they give you a little, a little pat on the butt and said, here you go. Here's your, we're going to hook you up. Love to hear some of you guys that do any investing. Love to hear your thoughts on this $1.3 billion that Twitter left on the table. That's how it works. I didn't make the rules. Kim.com's Mega Cloud Storage exits beta. Secure messaging video chat due next year. So how many anybody using Mega? Are you guys willing to admit if you were? Love to hear from you if you have. All right, Google Glass has updated their FAQ. Apparently, it's okay for explorers now to sell glass and not get the device shut down. Google discourages it, and it's against the terms of service. Mine are not for sale. So, and they also updated it today. It's got a new calendar function and some other stuff that they've added, which is pretty cool. So, it's, you can see the updates are coming quicker and quicker now with Glass. All right, article over on The Verge. How many of you love some of these superhero TV series that have been out? Of course, we've the Avengers and all this stuff. You know, we've watched all those movies here. You know, big fans of all these movies. But Marvel is creating 4 superhero shows exclusively for Netflix and will premiere in 2015. Sounds like a very, very cool project. And congratulations to Netflix on scoring that that hookup. And, you know, Netflix stock doing pretty good. For sure. That's another one we all should have bought. All right. Trucker Tom. I love Trucker Tom. He just tells it the way it is. He pulls no punches. I think he feels the same way about Windows 8 as I do. And he wrote a great blog post over in Geekness Center called A Microsoft Fantasy. He starts off by saying, Microsoft and their Windows Everywhere strategy, it is a painful thing to watch. Microsoft is becoming the new BlackBerry. Boy, that just, bam, you know, just come from the top rope, Tom. He says, technology is always improving at an ever-accelerating pace. Mobile devices combined with ubiquitous, ever-present internet combined with ever-increasing bandwidth have come together to disrupt the traditional PC market, which itself was a disruption. And he just basically goes on to talk about their mobile strategy. And, you know, Rob, if you're listening, you know, I'm sure you will disagree with Trucker Tom, but this thing got a lot of, this article on Geek News Central probably was our top, top traffic driver in the last 30 days or so. Got a lot of movement. So I'll have a link up in the show notes for you guys to read. Trucker Tom really, in just the 24 hours that this thing has been online, it's gotten some serious traffic. So he has hit home. Everyone else is pretty much in agreement, except for the, you know, the Microsoft super fans that are out there. Redbox Instant coming to the PlayStation 4. So we're only a week away from the next big gaming console launch, but Sony is set to debut its PlayStation 4 on November 15th. And inching ahead of Xbox One by a week. Both consoles have their pros and cons. And, of course, anything to do to sweeten the pot. So PlayStation 4 will come with Redbox Instant. A couple of articles over here on Tech Dirt. Wow, Prenda, these guys are going to jail. I'm just going to tell you, this judge in Minneapolis reopened the case that he heard earlier this year where he had awarded Prenda a bunch of money. He took all the money back, has basically said, this is a big fiasco. It's a farce. You guys are cheating the system. There's been negligence upon the court. I mean, everything that you would never want a judge to ever say about you and or your company, he has said, and he says, I can't sort this out. I'm turning this over to law enforcement. And he says, they're good at figuring this all out. You know, this mystery guy that's disappeared, it is... these folks will all end up in jail. It's just the way it's going to happen. And when the court finds that fraud was committed on the court, you know, a couple things are guaranteed in life, death and taxes, right? Those are 2 things that are guaranteed. But if you are in a court action, and you defraud the court, and you upset a judge. Judges are, they have a lot of power. And they can make a person's life almost unbearable. And I am sure this team over at Prenda are probably trying to figure out how they're going to dig themselves out of this mess. Lies upon 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 lies ends up in a stack of cards that is going to collapse. And when it does, it is going to be spectacular. The story that is going to come out of this on the fraud and what, in my opinion, what they have portrayed is going to be incredible. And again, it's all about their whole action. What Prenda's goal was to extort money from people, right? In my opinion, that was what their goal was to go out and say, you committed a copyright violation, you shall pay us. Love it. Couldn't happen to a better group of people, in my opinion. Silk Road was shut down, right? Well, Silk Road 2.0, looking exactly like the original Silk Road, is back online. Some people think it's a honeypot. Some people think that, if you go on and use this thing, you're probably going to have the feds kicking in your door. But now that we've all heard about Silk Road number one, we all know what Silk Road number two is being used for. And the amount of money that was being, and you watch, if this thing becomes successful, Bitcoin prices will drop again based upon the illegal activities happening on Silk Road 2. So link will be up in the show notes for you guys to check it out. All right, over on Slashdot, PlayStation 4 Teardown has been, there's a great article about that. Actually, it's on Wired. So the folks at Slashdot just linked to it. So I'll have the Wired article up direct for you tonight. Hey, your kids going to school, right? Kids are, best of friends, elementary kids, very innocent. A school in British Columbia has just banned elementary school students from touching each other during recess. They have banned students from touching each other during recess. An elementary school. Recess is a chance to run out and goof off with your friends. All right? What is this world coming to? We're going to have a society of misfits. I see stuff like this and I'm like, who? Who's the idiot that is running that place? It just makes my hair should be standing on end. It really should. It really should. Someone's asking me in the chat room, are you going to do the 24-hour podcast? Probably not. I have got folks, I'll be honest with you, and I know some of you wait for it every year. I am up to here. I might do something different. I'm thinking about doing some sort of a relay where I would do 4 or 5 hours, someone else would do 4 or 5 hours. So that is my consideration this year. I've got to kind of think about that a little bit, but there's no way I'm going to do 24 hours again. It's like a 3 to 4 day recovery for me. It's a time of year where I have got so much going on that I really need to focus on the goal at hand, and that's being in Vegas on January 3rd and bringing some incredible content to you guys. And that 3 or 4 days of really sucked up from doing that takes my eye off the ball. And the last couple of years, we haven't raised as much money really to make it worthy of doing it. We used to raise $2,000-$3,000. Last year, I think it was like $400. So it doesn't have the impact that it used to have. But think about doing some sort of relay. I'll put that out a little later once we get a little further along in the month. All right, GIMP is citing ad policies moved to FTP rather than SourceForge downloads. Apparently, they're not happy with the ads on SourceForge. So GIMP is going to move to an FTP download. Hey, article over on CNET, Google Apps is Dropkick support our IE9. So following the release of IE11, Google Apps says sayonara. Sayonara. I should know how to speak this. Sayonara to IE9. So basically, Google Apps will only support the current version and IE10. North Korea, according to South Korean intelligence officials, have obtained the EMP weapons from Russia, and people are worried about it. You know, those maniacs with an EMP, they already live in the dark ages. That's all we need, is those idiots in North Korea to have an EMP. If the Russians gave that to them, shame on you. All right, astronauts, in space news, the Olympic torch has arrived in space. The Russian cosmonauts will take the torch on a historic spacewalk on Saturday. So, very, very cool here. After four orbits around the Earth and a six-hour journey, three astronauts arrive at the International Space Station, bringing with them the Olympic torch that will light the Olympic flame in Sochi, Russia for the 2014 Winter Games. So, they'll take the thing out and walk it around. I don't think they can light it up. Kind of hard to do in the vacuum of space, but it will go on a spacewalk. There's been a lot of support ever since some of the recent spying revelations. It's prompting folks to basically examine the TrueCrypt encryption software. Concerns over tampering and what is basically provoking a wide crowdsourcing response from the security community. And they've garnered over $57,000 in donations and bitcoins and attracted over 1,000 volunteers from 30 countries, including a technical advisory group comprised of some of the world's best regarded cryptographers. And they are going to look over the TrueCrypt encryption software to make sure that, for a better word, it doesn't have any holes. This is going to be a good one to follow. We'll see. Google's to ban external sources for Windows Chrome extensions. So if you are hosting an extension on your own website, come January, they're not going to allow you to do that anymore. So Google's dropped the banner ham on extensions for Chrome. They have to be inside the web store, citing security concerns. Probably a smart move by the folks over at Google. Let's see here. Running out of time. Bloomberg has another great article talking about tech companies having challenges wanting to comply with new online privacy laws for kids. And basically, the stickler is that if your kid goes to a website, parents have to sign off on the privacy rules. And this is not working. So if a kid's under 13, technically the parents are supposed to sign for the privacy stuff. There's a big problem with implementation. The tech companies are kind of running low underground on this. I'm sure it's important to a lot of folks, but its implementation hasn't been real effective yet. And this has been in effect since July. Kind of an unknown thing to me, but the COPPA rules definitely has been changed and updated. So if you're doing any type of apps and stuff like that, be aware of it. DirecTV has raised prices and more people have signed up. So they garnered 139,000 additional households and largely on Time Warner Cable's back because Time Warner Cable lost so many people during their big argument with CBS. Facebook is getting ready to debut on the S&P 500. So now Facebook will basically be a tipper to what's going on in our economy. So it'll be one of 500 companies on S&P. If any of you use Etsy, any ladies out here that buy stuff on Etsy, and even the fellas, if you do, of course, I think I've been on Etsy once or twice. But Etsy's new rules allow bigger sellers, and this is becoming a concern for the smaller mom-and-pop shops. Of course, Etsy was designed to, only thing that would be sold on there had to be handmade by the seller. Well, they've changed some of the rules on that. So if you are a vendor on Etsy, just be aware of that. I'm sure you already are. But Etsy is looking like to scale up and move a little more products. I'm sure it's all about the old greenbacks that they have to put in the bank. So we'll see where this leads. All right. Skype has offered a partial API reprieve. And so basically, They've said call recorders and hardware apps are going to be kept alive. Not a lot of details on how long this is going to last, but Skype is basically saying the API will remain enabled for a while longer. That makes a lot of podcasters I know very, very happy. They were stressing. Hey, a fire at the Internet Archive destroyed equipment and materials, but data is safe. There was a fire on November 6th that basically burnt the building down in San Francisco that houses the Internet Archive Scanning Center. And so now they've started a fundraiser to try to raise $600,000 to basically replace the digitization equipment that they lost in the fire. How many of you have a real good alarm clock? I have one. I've been using it for really 25 years or so. It's still working. It's a C battery Seiko alarm clock that's got the most annoying ring that wakes me up and has never failed me. But if you have an alarm clock that you really wants to get your attention, The Verge is talking about an alarm clock that wakes you up with basically telling you the time that you're going to die. You input basically your age and it basically gives you an average and you only have 20 years, 22 days, you know, to live. That's the alarm that that's what it tells you every morning when you wake up. So it gives you other statistics too. So if you guys want one of these, it's a Kickstarter campaign. The link will be up in the show notes. Hacker behind the Lover Spy Trojan added the FBI's most wanted cyber criminal list. This is going back a little ways, but this guy in 2005 basically put some software out there that basically was nothing but malware, and the FBI wanted to capture this guy all these years later. Congress is also preparing for anti-patent troll vote with the Senate hearing, so this is something you may want to pay attention to as well on the legislative front. You know, there's a lot of patent reform that's wanted, and this is the first attempt at this, so this is something you may want to get behind and call your congressman, say, hey, get on the bandwagon here and support this. So link will be up on the show notes on that. And finally, how many of you have kids that do everything they can to get into the Christmas presents? Well, there's a brand new motion-activated alarm that keeps those gifts wrapped and a secret. Basically, you put this on top of the gift, and it's going to go off if the gift is moved. it also has a sensor that detects the radius, and it lets the mom and dads know if the kids even get too close. So this is something where you can, you know, a lot of parents put gifts in the closet and hide stuff, you know, and if the kids open the closet door, you know, it sets off the alarm and said, shouldn't be here. So link will be up in the show notes on that. All right, finally, let's go ahead and real quickly, I'm long, apologize here, having too much fun at the beginning of the show. Steve, did I make it all the way through the show without saying basically? He says, hey, Todd, I'm a longtime listener and really enjoy the show. But episode 904, you really drove me crazy. You said the word basically in every other sentence. It got to the point where your use of the basically about a million times completely drove me up a wall. I become fixated on that world and had to stop listening three quarters of the way in. I don't mind when you incorrectly pronounce Illinois instead of saying Illinois. I won't even say why. I know how to say Illinois. but basically this and basically that becomes fingernails on a blackboard. I had to tell you, pal. Thanks, Steve. And did I make it through today? Or did I use a new word too much? Let me know. It's this kind of stuff that what I love about you guys, where you guys give me great feedback. This is the kind of stuff I need because I don't listen to my own show. So when you guys hear something and it drives you nuts, tell me, and I can tweak just like that. We can tweak the show, and it's a mental thing in my brain. Don't say that word, you know, or don't do that habit. So please, you know, feel free to hammer me when you need to. So those of you that are in the UK, sorry, no glass. Can't send glass to the UK. You have to be in the United States, okay? So just be aware. We can't do it. I mean, maybe we can work something out, but technically I'm not allowed to submit anyone that lives overseas to getting glass, okay? Just a heads up. I got an email here. I said, what date was that? Let me look at the last show date. It was on the 4th. Yeah, I think that's it. Just a couple emails. So real easy tonight. All right, folks, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Definitely follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Don't forget about our crowdfunding that's going on. bit.ly/TPN crowd is a place to go. Really, let's take this thing to $1,000. Let's get it to moving a little bit. If you feel like contributing, I'd really love to have you on board. I know we're talking a lot about money. It is the time of year where we spend a lot of money to do great things for you guys. So we appreciate your financial support. Really do. Those of you that are insiders already, love you guys. Thanks for your continued support. And continue communicating with Sam. We've been getting some issues cleared up, which is good. If you're not in the Insider mailing list, let Sam know. If you're not on the Google Plus side, let Sam know at insider@geeknewscentral.com. And he'll get you hooked up there. And we want the rest of you. We love you guys, too. We want the rest of you on our regular Google Plus community. And share with me stuff that you find, cool stuff, tidbits, tips, rumors, whatever it may be. It's all fun for the show. But I'm going to get you out of here. Thanks for being here. And send me an email on basically anything you want. But we'll see you next time. Take care and aloha.